You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to learn, love, lead, to reflect the light of Jesus. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live your life in such a way that others would see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
That's what we ask that God would do for us, right? That He would teach us to abide in Him. And as we begin a new school year here at Trinity, like I mentioned earlier, it's the 142nd academic year at Trinity. Right? And as we begin that new year, our theme this year is that joyfully we learn, love, and lead to reflect the light of Jesus. And that theme, it's not just a slogan for the school year. It's bigger. It's bigger than something that we'd put on a wall or put on a t-shirt. But this really describes who we want to be here, who we want to be as a school, but also as an early childhood center, who we want to be as a congregation, as a ministry. And so over these next few weeks, we're going to be digging into what it looks like to joyfully learn, love, and lead to reflect the light of Jesus. And so today we begin with joyfully we learn. And we get a beautiful picture of what it looks like to joyfully learn in our gospel reading today. Notice as we look again at that story, learning is not necessarily sitting in a classroom. And learning is not only for children until they graduate high school or college. But in our story today, we see Mary, or Jesus, coming into the home of Mary and Martha, who are sisters of Lazarus. And Martha is working. She is serving. She's preparing. She's trying to get everything ready. And those are good things that she's doing. Right? The food needs to be ready. The house needs to be ready. Everything needs to be taken care of so that everybody can enjoy this time with Jesus. But Martha's frustrated that she's doing it all by herself. And so she comes to Jesus in her frustration and asks Jesus to help her out because her sister Mary is just sitting there at the feet of Jesus listening to Him. And so Martha says to Jesus, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve all alone? Do you not care that my sister is making me do everything? Well, then tell her to get up and help me." But the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Notice Martha wanted to take Mary away from Jesus to help her serve, but Jesus says, "No, this good portion sitting at my feet will not be taken away from her." And what we see in this is that Martha is trying to make everything around Jesus good. But Mary is choosing the good thing itself. Right? Mary chooses Jesus. She sits at His feet. She listens to Him. She learns from Him. She receives from Him. And Jesus says that this is the good portion. Because Jesus Himself is the gift. It's not the things that could be accomplished around Jesus. It's not what we get out of Jesus or what Martha or Mary could get out of Jesus. It's not what could be done to make everything around Jesus better. But Jesus Himself is the gift. Right? He was the gift for Mary, and He's the gift for you and for me today. But as we hear that, I think this is also where we need to be careful, because it's really easy to fall into what Martha is doing. Because at Trinity, when we say that we learn, we say that we worship and pray in community, that we study God's word together, and that we live out God's will for our lives. And those are all good things, right? We should worship together. We should pray together. We should study God's word in our home by ourselves, with our families, and in a community. We should be in Bible study, right? We should do these things, and we should live out God's will for our lives. We should hear his word and live according to it. But those good things can sometimes easily become the things that we make the ends, right? Instead of the means, we make them the end. We can center our lives around the things and turn those into boxes that we just check off, right? Like, hey, you went to worship today. Check. Right? You read God's word today because Pastor Gerber read it for you. Check. Right? I'm going to pray in a little bit. Oh, great. Check. And then maybe I'll go home and I'll read my Bible by myself, or maybe I was in Bible study, or maybe I'm in a small group, and so I can check that off too, and maybe I went out and did the Christian thing. Check. And then after all of those boxes have been checked off, then I get to do all the things that I want to do in my life. And I get to live my life the way I want to live it. And suddenly the things through which Jesus gives us himself, those become the goals instead, rather than Jesus himself. And we start to trying to make all the things around Jesus good. And when we do that, we can miss the good portion. We can miss Jesus himself, because we're so focused on everything else around him. But Mary shows us a different way. She shows us something different. She sits at the feet of Jesus. And that posture of sitting is the posture of a disciple. Now the word disciple is a churchy word. We really only use disciple inside the church, and so sometimes we can use that word but not really know what it means. Maybe we've heard that a disciple is a follower of Jesus, which is true, but that might be a little vague. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Or maybe we've heard that a disciple is someone who learns from Jesus, which again is true, but a disciple isn't simply someone who learns information, but a disciple is someone who learns from Jesus in order to be like Jesus. And so maybe the closest picture that we have in our culture today is the idea of an apprentice. Right, an apprentice is someone who learns from a master craftsman, a master in their field. They watch their master. They learn from their master. Then they try and imitate their master. An apprentice then gets corrected by that master craftsman or master electrician or whatever that field is. And as they get corrected, then they practice again what the master teaches. And sometimes what they're being taught feels awkward. Sometimes it feels strange. Sometimes it doesn't feel natural. And so sometimes the apprentice thinks, well, I know a better way to do this. But over time, that apprentice is formed to be like that master craftsman. And what once felt awkward now starts to feel natural. And the apprentice begins to look more and more like that master craftsman. Right? And that's a picture of what it looks like to joyfully learn from Jesus. That an apprentice of Jesus doesn't simply learn information about Jesus in order to like win a trivia contest or something, but an apprentice learns from Jesus in order to be like Jesus. And that's who we're called to be, right? We are called to be apprentices of Jesus. Now, in our story today, Mary could literally, physically sit at the feet of Jesus. Today, we're not able to do that in the same way that Mary was. But that doesn't mean that Jesus has stopped speaking, and that doesn't mean that he's stopped making apprentices out of us. Right? Jesus has given us his word. that we get to joyfully learn from, like the Bereans, who these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. These were ones who received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. The Bereans, which we meet in the verse in verse 10, the verse ahead, they were a group of people who eagerly, according to Luke, who wrote Acts, received the word of God. And they examined the scriptures because they wanted to know that the things that they were hearing preached or the things that they were hearing taught were actually true. Because the Thessalonians, the church in Thessalonica, when Paul and Silas were first there, some received Jesus, but others started a mob and kicked Jesus out of the city. And so then they went to Berea. And now these Bereans are starting to hear these things. But the Thessalonians are like, well, we can't let that go. And so they send more people to Berea to try and cause an uproar in Berea. And so the Bereans are saying, well, what's true? And where do they go? They go to the scriptures. They go to God's word to see if what they're hearing is true, because they want to know who God is. And in doing so, they really want to know who this Jesus truly is. Not simply what somebody has claimed about who Jesus is, but who Jesus truly is. And so they eagerly, joyfully receive God's word and examine the scriptures. And in doing so, they are apprenticed by Jesus through his word. And then Paul, as he's writing letters to different churches, he writes one to the church in Colossae, and he tells them to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing you. Right? Let it dwell in you. And that word, the Greek there, really means to inform, to form from the inside for something good. Right, to allow the word of God to take residence in us, to let the word of Christ continue to shape you, to form you, to make you into who God has made you to be, even if that's admonishing you, right? Allowing the word of God to correct you. Because this is the life of an apprentice. And again, that's who we are called to be. We are apprentices of Jesus. But this apprenticeship is not one that we eventually graduate from. Right? We don't reach some point, whether it's confirmation or whether it's high school senior or college, or we don't reach some point where we say, okay, I've learned enough about Jesus. I'm the master now. I don't need him to continue teaching me and forming me, and I definitely don't need him correcting me. That's not what this is. Right? We're not simply apprentices of Jesus for a short time or even a long time. We are lifelong apprentices of Jesus. Lifelong apprentices of Jesus who continue receiving God's word eagerly, joyfully, who even keep being taught and corrected. But then as we're corrected, we are lifelong apprentices of Jesus who keep being forgiven, who keep being formed into the people that God has created us to be. And sometimes the word of God tells us things that we really don't want to hear. And sometimes it exposes us. Sometimes it shows us that what we think feels natural isn't actually good. It's not actually right. Sometimes it shows us where we've trusted in ourselves rather than trusting in Jesus. Sometimes it shows us just how far our lives are separated from the life that God has called us to. And when it does, that can hurt. That doesn't feel like something that I joyfully want to learn. But I also want to remind you who God's word says that you are. And so a few verses earlier, as Paul is writing to the church in Colossae, he reminds them that you are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. And so the master, Jesus, is not correcting you because he wants to humiliate you. He doesn't show you your sin in order to show you how awful you are. His word shows you your sin so that it can remind you again and so that you can once again see your Savior. Because the more clearly you see your sin, the more clearly you're able to see how great the mercy of Jesus is. The more you see how much you need Jesus, the more you see how much Jesus has done for you. Right? He has given himself to you. He has taken your sins upon himself and taken them to the cross. He has died for you, and he has risen again for you to forgive you all of your sins. He has given you his righteousness. He's given you his name. Right? He has made you his children, his sons and daughters. And because you know how much the Master loves you, then you can know that his correction is not rejection, but it's formation. Like a master craftsman forming an apprentice. And so joyfully we learn is not Pastor Gerber telling you that if you're in Bible study more often, that Jesus will love you more, or that Jesus will love you more if you read your Bible every day, or that it's not me telling you that Jesus will love you more if you worship more often, because those things don't earn the love of Jesus. There's nothing that we can do to earn the love of Jesus. It takes us right back to the series that we just finished. Where in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed are those who recognize that there's nothing that they can do to earn forgiveness, but simply receive it from Jesus. Because Jesus is the gift. And those places are where we receive the gift, where Jesus gives himself to you. And so as you worship, you get to be with Jesus. As you pray, you get to be with Jesus. As you study God's word in your home, you get to be with Jesus. As you study God's word in Bible study or small groups or with others, you get to be with Jesus. And as you live out God's will in your lives, you get to be with Jesus. You get to hear him speak to you. You get to discover who he's made you to be. And yes, you get to hear him again tell you where you might need formed differently, where you might need reshaped. But then you also get to hear again from Jesus that you're forgiven, and you get to watch over a lifetime as his word changes you, as it shapes you, as it forms you from the inside, and it changes what you love and how you live. You get to sit at the feet of Jesus. You to abide with him. That's what joyfully we learn really is. That's what joyfully learning is. As you receive from Jesus, though, that doesn't just stay inside of you. It begins to overflow. And so joyfully we learn. And as we joyfully learn, then joyfully we love. And joyfully we lead. And joyfully, we reflect the light of Jesus. Amen? Amen.